Letters to Daniel, Volume 5. Letter 301. The Prayer of Jesus for America. Printed and posted in the year of Christ our King 2014, in the 12th month, on the 21st day of the 12th month.
Dan, from the very first that I started at G6, I wondered at all the foreigners that worked there, especially in the department that I hired into. I used to joke to myself how it was like working in the UN, because one almost needed an interpreter to understand most of the other people around me. Some of these became my friends, like CB38, from Eritrea. He is a Christian, and taught me how to say, God loves you, in Tigrinya, his native tongue. Here is how I remember the spelling. Amlakfetwana. This spelling may not be 100% accurate, but that's how it sounds. Not long ago I asked the same question of our sister, CS8, who was able to travel to Moldova and see her father in July of this year after the Lord intervened and had Angel Gabriel, help, management decide to approve her leave of absence. I asked her how, Jesus loves us, is spoken in her native tongue. She wrote on a piece of paper the following in Moldavian. Isus Neiabsh. But then, after a thought occurred to her from Gabriel, who was standing next to us, she added these two words, Patos, and after a little back and forth between CSA and I about how best to translate Patos into English, we decided that the word all best fit the definition. So, translated into English, it would read, Isus Neiabsh Patos, Jesus loves us all. But also over the years I have sensed various kinds of hatred at G6. This is usually displayed in derogatory remarks and glares. The type that made rise to the phrase, if looks could kill. More recently I had contact with a female co-worker who was coming on the first shift. I was about to clock out from third shift and was ready to hand off the lead pager and master keys to her. I could tell, by the discernment of spirits, from the look in her eyes, that animosity existed. And I knew, through the gift of knowledge, it was both anti-male and anti-American. The undercurrent of evil against the U.S. has been promoted by Satan for a long time, and currently manifests itself in Islam, communism, globalism, communitarianism, socialism, subversivism, anarchism, progressivism, and dishonoring of father and mother. The last part is one that troubles me the most, and might be likened to removing the ancient landmarks given to the current generation of Americans by those who fought and died to bring forth a new nation. Add to that the lack of love for the U.S. in many American school districts, and we now have a generation of Americans with little or no knowledge of any national heritage. That combined with worldwide communications technology brings about an easier receptivity of globalism. But all throughout scripture, God articulates how important having nations are to Him. In the book of Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 8, He promises to Abraham that nations would come from his own body. In the book of Romans chapter 16, verses 25 through 27, He reveals the gospel to all nations, and in the book of Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 3, He promises that the nations would be healed. The U.S. is unique in that it is not a nation built upon a certain people or race, but built upon a set of principles found predominantly in scripture and legally codified in the founding documents, and continues as a nation through agreement thereto by those who wish to be ruled thereby. The prayer of Jesus for America is the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and the Gettysburg Address. Our Father in Heaven, please hear the words of this, our prayer for America. The Declaration of Independence. In Congress, July 4, 1776. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth, the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form, as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience hath shown, that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when the long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government, and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. Preamble to the Constitution of the United States of America. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. The Gettysburg Address. By President Abraham Lincoln, November 19, 1863. 67 years ago our fathers brought forth on this continent, a new nation, conceived in liberty, and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But, in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it, far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note, nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Amen. Blessings. R.C. Theophilus. P.S. After thinking more about my exchange with C.S. 8, this thought occurred to me. Jesus loves us all, everyone.
Holy scrolls, where now the Emperor Menelik and Queen of Sheba's gold. You, my bride, wear a crown on your finger, precious stone, as every good thing now means so.
Slums, and blessed is the spirit that overcomes.